If you've been told you need a filling crown or a root canal, get a second opinion at Dental Pros of Utah and American Fork. They utilize the latest biomimetic techniques to rebuild your teeth in order to prevent ever having to get crowns or root canals later in life. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360. Let's welcome in Michael Felder. What's up, Michael? How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing?
We're fantastic as well. We got me and Mitch Harper talking, Ty Detmer, Brett Favre, Kurt Warner. When you hear those names, did you know that at one point Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, Mark Brunell, Mariucci, and Ty Detmer were all in the same room in the NFL?
I mean, that's just one of those things where, hey, greatness happens, and I think they all kind of sprung from it, right?
Yeah, indeed. No, there was a lot of future production in that room and prior production as well. Michael, we're bringing you on for a number of different reasons. Number one, though, we've been talking a lot about this Elite 11 group, Tanner McKee and many others. There's a couple other kids with some Utah ties. You got Cam Cooper and then also the University mm-hmm. of Utah commit, Jack Tuttle. Mm-hmm. Give me an overall analysis of what you saw from these quarterbacks and what you like, some of the guys that you felt were the best that stood out to you.
I think there's a big four in this group. I think Trevor Lawrence, the kid from Cartersville, Georgia, Justin Fields, another Georgia kid that's committed to Penn State. Then you throw in Jack Tuttle. Jack is as good as anyone, and then Tanner McKee. I think those are the top four quarterbacks in this group. But you get into it, and these guys can play. And I think we're seeing kind of the – I was talking to George Whitfield, the noted quarterback guru, and he's seen these quarterbacks play, and they're all just – they're ready to rock and roll. You get better athletes playing quarterback, ready to go, better teaching, and these guys can go out and they can play some football.
Top four, huh? I love that you've already broken it down to those top four. Do you think one of those guys ends up being the Elite 11 MVP then?
Not yet. We'll see what happens in Oregon. And during the opening, they have an opportunity to become the Elite 11 MVP. Last year, Tua Tagovailoa won, who obviously now was an early enrollee in Alabama. But there's no doubt in my mind that whether it's Tanner McKee or it's Jack Tuttle or Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, whether it's Tyler Shough, Tyler Shough and Justin Rogers both uncommitted. Those guys, they can all be the Elite 11 MVP. And I think that's the big plus for them. So I'm looking forward to watching what happens as we get to the opening, because the big key is, the only difference between the guys that made it to be in the Final 11 and the guys that didn't was the guys that did made it through the 7-on-7 period where they were throwing the ball around and they knew what was going to happen next. The other guys have all the tools, they have all the skills, they have the ability to do it. It's just a matter of them putting it all together.
Michael, this is Mitch Harper, and I just wanted to get your perspective. When you first saw Tanner McKee, who's a pretty big BYU target for BYU. What were your initial impressions when you got a chance to watch him for the first time?
The first time I watched him was on tape, and I thought, this kid is amazing. Like, he's super good. And then you watch him in person, and not only is he super good and crazy, like just his skills are off the charts, you see his athleticism, how easy the game comes to him. And certainly for me, I think that he belongs up there with Trevor Lawrence, with Davis Mills from a year ago. He is an elite quarterback prospect, one of those guys where the game slows down for him because he's so much better than most people are.
And you're someone that follows college football on a national scale. Do you, as someone who follows it nationally, do you get surprised that BYU is still in the conversation for quarterbacks these days, like a Tanner McKee?
No, not at all. He's an LDS guy. He sat out on Sunday because, you know, he can't participate on that Sunday. So he knows his faith is very important to him, and he recognizes where he has to make these decisions, and he does that. And so it's not surprising to me in that regard. I think that the big thing for Tanner McKee is going to be, you know, after he takes his mission, does your staff remember to call him? And I think that BYU's got a staff that will remember to call him.
And do you think, what's, in your opinion, I mean, I don't know if you're too familiar with, you know, LDS missions or whatnot, but, I mean, coming, having a two-year hiatus, how difficult do you think that is, being a quarterback and trying to deliver on these lofty expectations when he comes back?
I think it's, obviously it's tough, but the good thing, and I think this is the biggest thing, is that he's gifted. He's physically gifted. He's better than other people that are his same age. He's tall, he's strong, and I know that he's going to have to work out, and he won't be able to do the same workouts that his peers are doing during that same time period, but for him, he's still going to come in with a better understanding of the game than most quarterbacks that graduate high school that year, and I think that's going to be his big selling point. So as far as Tanner McKee goes, for me, take your mission, do your thing, and I still think he's going to be better. He's going to be better right now. He, as George Whitfield told me, he's better than any quarterback in the class of 2020.
Michael Felder from Bleacher Report on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. I love your bio. You subscribe to the pro-style offense, believe wholeheartedly that defense wins championships. Tell me a little bit about the opening and what these young men will be doing at that opening, how they're going to be competing, and how they're actually graded out is what I'm intrigued by. Also, if you could, I know I'm asking a lot of questions here, but who's voting on these young men? What's the committee look like?
So for the opening itself, to get there, you got to be an outstanding performer. That's one of those things where you got to run a good 40 time, you got to jump a good vert. So you got vert, you're 40. But they also look for football players, and I think that's one of the things that having guys like Trent Dilfer helps. Dilfer was never going to blow anybody out of their minds with how he was as a tester. But as a football player, he's a guy that could get the job done. So Dilfer's on the list from the quarterback standpoint, but then you see guys that played football, Matthew Hatchett, you see Gene Jackson, Andrew Fletch. These guys all played football at a high level. They played in Canada. They played in the NFL. And those guys are the ones that are making the calls. So the opening is the event. It's at the Nike campus. You get an opportunity to go out there and see the top. The best part, there are so many football players in their own town that are the best. And now you got an opportunity to play the best on the best. You get a guy from, whether it's he's from Corpus Christi or he's from Charlotte, North Carolina, or he's from Destin, Florida, or he's from Chandler, Arizona. Those guys all battle it out together to be the best football player that they can be. And I think that holds a lot of weight because there's some guys that get onto that big stage and they don't like the idea that somebody else could be as good or better than them and they shrink away. And there's other guys that walk up to the stage, and then they show up, and they blow up, and they're ready to go. Dante Jackson, who's playing at LSU right now, is one of those guys who other people didn't think about coming in, but as soon as he got on the stage, he proved that not only do he belong, but he's better than anybody else. So I think the big key for these guys going to the opening in Beaverton, in Oregon, last week of June, is let me show up so I can show people what I can do. And It's one of the few events that I get excited about because I know that these guys can go out and play.
Can I get your thoughts on these top-tiered recruits that at the quarterback position? I don't know if you're seeing any sort of themes as to which schools they decide on going to, if it's their particular skill set and how it matches up with a particular team. Is it a winning tradition? Is it instant playing time when they roll in? Is there a theme that you're seeing amongst these Elite 11 kids since you've been covering it on where they ultimately decide on their college career?
I'll be honest, I think the theme is the relationship you have with the head coach.
Huh.
And I think that goes very far. I think that if you have a relationship with that head coach, a guy can tell you how he wants to use you in the run game and the pass game, or how he wants to use you in the pass game and work in the intermediate area, or he wants to show you how you can throw touchdowns every play. But that goes a long way, and it means a lot to these guys, and they care a lot about it. So Cammy Cooper, he's a Washington State guy. Cam wants to throw in the intermediate area to find guys open so they can run to the end zone, and that's huge to him. Joey Gatewood's a guy that's committed to Auburn, and Joey, He wants to run and throw, and that means a lot to him. Quincy Patterson, committed to Virginia Tech, it means a lot to him to be able to run and to throw, but also to develop into a pro prospect as a quarterback. And I think coaches hit on all – if they check all those boxes, kids will ultimately commit to them.
Michael Felder, Bleacher Report here on ESPN 960. You're a fan of the pro-style offense. There's maybe five, maybe six true pro-style offenses at the collegiate level. It seems like the spread has spread like a virus across all of our youth leagues, high school, and into college. And you have GMs, you have head coaches complaining about it. For example, Bruce Arians at the NFL Summit talked about it. Coach Carroll of Seattle has complained about it at the quarterback and offensive line position. Therefore, tell me, how many teams are actually running a pro-style offense, or at least elements of the West Coast pro-style offense, and will this become, will there be another transition over to it because the NFL coaching staffs are begging for it?
I think there's a fair amount of people that run at least concepts from a pro-style setting. One of the teams, obviously we know Stanford, we know Alabama, we know they're going to do some pro-style stuff, but Ohio State works a lot of pro-style, and that's why their offensive linemen get in the league and stay in the league. North Carolina, Oklahoma State, they both worked pro-style into a lot of the things that they do, which is why their wide receivers are guys on big on the radar. North Carolina just had two wide receivers get drafted, and a third guy got into the league, and he's going to stick for a long time, Bug Howard. So I think the big key is you got to look at concepts, not the specific plays. And it goes a long way. I think that when we look at from a quarterback standpoint, I think you got to look for a guy. Does he always have to drop back? No, but can he drop back? Yes. And I think that goes a long way. Obviously, Carson Wentz is the most clear-cut path to pro style, but Jimbo Fisher works a lot of shotgun, but also pro style concepts into his game. And I think that goes, that goes without saying that he has, was a first-round draft pick right after Andrew Luck, so he's ready to rock and roll. So to me, when I look at it, I think that you got to look at concepts, does he play under center? You got to look at guys dropping back from under center. You got to look at guys working on play action, the way guys do all those things. I think that goes a long way. Mississippi State with Dan Mullen, they run a lot of stuff that he picked up from Urban Meyer, and they're ready to play pro-style football. It's just a matter of not overgeneralizing the idea of what pro means to you, because you can get pro-style offense out of a shotgun set.
And, Michael, I was going to actually follow up with that. On the Elite 11 camp, did they line up the quarterbacks a lot under center, or is it a nice blend of both shotgun and under center?
They work a lot of under center. It's big to Trent Dilfer. He wants you to work from under center so that you understand. Because if you don't work from under center and you only do shotgun, you don't understand how hard it can be. So he makes them all work from under center consistently to recognize, hey, my back's to the field. My back's to the field for this long. If I'm working if I'm working on a play action pass, and then I get set up. Then I find the safety. Now I see the safety. Now I'm looking at number one. Now I'm looking at number two. And then I get the ball out. So he makes them all work from under center consistently.
This is what I see happening in the future at the quarterback position as they make that transition to the NFL. You look at Kirk Bull, the head coach for Wyoming. He's the guy that developed Carson Wentz, in my opinion, and his coaching staff that he brought over from North Dakota State. Now you got Josh Allen out of Wyoming, who is projected to be the first round or maybe the first pick of the 2018 NFL draft. But he doesn't have to have the production of a spread quarterback in order to merit that. He had a decent season last year. Had he come out, I don't know where he would have ended up, but he may have been a first round, second round draft pick with the production he had just a year ago. He throw for 3,000 yards? He had a pretty good touchdown to interception ratio. Nothing like gaudy, like a Ty Detmer type of season, or you know, just pick one of your spread quarterbacks of it just a year prior that was on the hype train, and as far as production is concerned. I feel like that pro-style quarterback is going to be coveted. You have to play in a pro-style system. You have to understand the verbiage. You have to be willing to look at an offensive line and a running back and a wide receiver in the eyes and call a play and understand it. And then those are the guys, even though they don't have 4,000 yards of passing, those are the guys that are going to go in the first round early on.
No, I think I agree. I think the biggest thing, the only reason that the guys that you're mentioning won't go higher than some other guys are because in the spread, you still get quarterbacks with traits, guys that are 6'4", 220, that can throw the ball a mile. And if you get those guys, they're going to get drafted over a guy that's 6'1", you know, 205, that can throw the football 17 yards. But in general, you're 100% correct, and I think that we're recognizing now that this means a lot in terms of your ability to transfer your game to the NFL's game or your college game to the NFL's game. So when I look at it, I think DeAndre Francois is a guy that should be on someone's list because Francois at Florida State, he's 6'2". He's going to throw – he can't throw the ball a mile like Josh Allen can or even like Josh Rosen can. But yeah, we're dealing with a guy that can hit all his spots, and we know he's tough as nails. So I think we're going to see a balance come to fold of guys that can – guys that check every box in terms of what they are versus guys that check every box in terms of the offense they play in versus guys that play in a non-traditional offense, play in a spread offense, but check your box in terms of what they bring to the table physically. And I think after you check those boxes, now you got to evaluate trait on trait. And I think a lot of those traits are going to fall into what you have from guys that play in a pro style offense, but are not technically the pro style quarterback.
Michael, I salute you. Great stuff. Love having you on. Thanks for going out there to the Elite 11 and giving us that report on Tanner McKee and all these great young men that are competing at a very high level. Are you going to be out at the opening as well?
I will be at the opening. We get out there on Thursday, so we got all week to go out and talk the opening.
All right, man. We'll have you on again to give us an analysis of what you're seeing there, and we'll see if one of the kids that has Utah ties ends up as the MVP. You got two of them in your top four already. We'll see how it plays out. Thank you, Michael Felder.
Sounds good. You guys take it easy.
Follow him at In the Bleachers on Twitter, In the Bleachers. Did you get a filling done by your dentist and it still hurts? Get a second opinion from a biomedically trained dentist at Dental Pros of Utah. Rebuild your teeth layer by layer with Kevlar fibers. You won't ever have tooth sensitivity ever again. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360, DentalProsOfUtah.com.